You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, a podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
I did a lot of weird and wonderful things when I started working for myself first in 1996, before I settled into the rhythm of just doing what I do now, helping people, I suppose, be the best version of themselves that they can be. Don't like that phrase, as we've said before, but that's neither here nor there, you know what I mean. One of the things that I did was some consulting work for the World Bank in Africa. And one of the places in which I worked was the Cape Verde Islands, Las Islas Cabo Verde. Now in those days, back in 1996, there were no direct flights to what has subsequently become a major tourist destination. It was a chain of islands that didn't accept credit cards. I only discovered that, by the way, when I went to check out of my hotel after 2 weeks there. That's another story. I was working with a bank called Caixa Econômica de Cabo Verde, a bank that was strung across a number of the Cape Verde Islands, all joined in 1996 by fiber optic. They were way ahead of their time in certain respects, but they were way behind the times in relation to, for example, how they could manage their way forward to a point where the government of the islands could sell the bank. It's a story, now that I think about it. Anyway, I spent a couple of weeks there. I had a couple of people working for me in my World Bank team. And we put together, in consultation, obviously, with the senior leadership team of the bank, a strategic plan that would get them to their promised land. The day before we left, the president of the bank said to me, could you spend a few hours with us tomorrow morning, it's a Friday morning, could you spend a few hours with us telling us, explaining to us, the process that you used to come up with what is, for all of us, an exceedingly exciting plan. So we sat down in an air-conditioned office that Friday morning for 3 hours. I stood up and simply said the following words. If you want to achieve something, if you want to get somewhere, all you have to do is picture what it feels like when you have arrived, and it'll all happen. The 3 hour meeting took less than 3 minutes. They got it, they understood straight away. The president of the bank said, right, it's only 9:05 in the morning, but I think we should drive up into the mountains and have a celebratory lunch. That's how we spent the final day in the Cape Verde Islands. Strategic planning? I mean, after all, my actual title in ACC Bank, the bank that I turned around in the early 1990s, is General Manager of Corporate Strategy. Strategic planning? Planning at all? Who needs planning when you know that you will get to where is best for you once you put your mind to it? Yeah, putting your mind to it is an ordinary, everyday phrase. We've talked in this podcast over the last few weeks about how we set our mind, which is exactly the same thing as putting your mind to it. We set our mind in the way in which I described and explained to those people, that senior leadership team in the Cape Verde Islands all those years ago. So what's the value of planning? Do you need a 5-year plan? Do you need a plan for your business? Do you need a plan for your family? Should your children have plans? Now, like most of the language that we use to attempt to explain what we explore in this podcast, the word plan can have a variety of different meanings. the exercise of planning is effectively to think through where you want to go and how you're going to get there. So planning is obviously the wrong way to go about getting what is best for you, if you consider what I've just said. If we had planned, Lisa and I, anyway, myself and my wife, had planned when I started working for myself in 1996, where we wanted to be in whatever number of years' time we choose to pick, I wouldn't be sitting where I'm sitting now. We wouldn't be luxuriating in our own very personal blue zone in the French Alps. Our children would have not had the amazing opportunity to completely reinvent themselves in a country in which they didn't have a single word of the local language. Our children wouldn't be living in Paris. They wouldn't be living the lives that they are luxuriating in themselves at this stage. I talked a few weeks ago about how, for a summer job, one of our daughters was asked where did she see herself in 5 years' time, to which she answered, certainly not here. It was only a summer job. But that is a question that is frequently asked of people. Where do you see yourself? Where do you want to go in your life? What are your goals and your objectives? And if you attempt to answer any of those questions in the ordinary way, you are going to root yourself to the spot, you're going to linker yourself, you're going to close down all of the options that we have available to us to live a life that our thinking mind could never really begin to imagine. But surely you need a plan for a business. I mean, I've worked with senior leadership teams, as I've mentioned a few times recently, over the first 21, 22 years of my working for myself in this field of success and happiness. That's the field in which I work. And all of those leadership teams with whom I worked, first of all, when we got together for 2 or 3 days, they demanded an agenda for the 2 or 3 days. I just laughed at them. When you give yourself an agenda, that's the same as giving yourself a plan, you have immediately restricted the possible outcomes. You have immediately said, this is where we want to go and no further. And yet, our being mind, our true nature, our real potential knows no bounds. So why would we plan? My answer to all those leadership teams was, yeah, in business, you need a plan, depending on the audience that you're addressing. The senior leadership team, if they come together and are running a business and have a vision for the business and know how it's going to feel when they get there, they don't need a plan. They've already reached the promised land in that part of their mind to which they have set the task of getting there. But the people down the line, and I'm going to be a little judgmental here, the cats that need to be herded, they need a plan because they need to all kind of be encouraged to jolly along in the same direction. You must remember that 96% of people haven't a clue what's going on. They're buried in their own head. They're lost in thought. They're literally missing their own lives moment to moment. So if you want to encourage them to move in a particular direction, you have to give them what they expect to receive by way of an understanding of that direction. But successful businesses don't need plans other than for that reason. Oh, and obviously the board. The people who are obsessed with the bottom line, the shareholders. I recollect I've been working for myself for a couple of years when I got a call from the guy who had just been given the job of chief executive in a life insurance company that was leading market share. He had been given the job of turning it around in 9 months. This was a March, and their financial year end was to December. So we set about, he and I, imagining how it would feel Then he sat down with the board in the coming new year, having achieved more than they had anticipated, more than they would have ever expected, because God help them if they were using their normal minds in the normal way, where the expectation of doing better next year is 10% better than the mediocrity that you've achieved this year. So we set about putting his mind to work. As I said earlier on, you'll always achieve that to which you put your mind, or set your mind. Choose your own words that best enable you to have a little insight or an aha. I got a frantic call from him 11 months later. The board were meeting at the beginning of February the following year to go through what had happened in the previous year. Now, the business had performed way beyond anybody's reasonable expectations. It's not an awful word, reasonable. It's like another word, realistic. The company had performed way beyond what was realistic. Or if we're using our normal minds normally, the normal mind would say to you, then you set yourself a grand goal, that's unrealistic. But I'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. The call I got in the February following was from the chief executive, who was in something of a panic. He said, the board want me to explain blow by blow as to how we achieved something that they didn't believe was possible in such a short period of time. He said, I can't go into them and tell them that I set my mind to it. I can't go into them and say, I imagined how it would feel when I got to the promised land. First of all, it would be my last day in the job, regardless of the performance that we had just put in. They think they were dealing with a crackpot. So, what did we do? In hindsight, we wrote a plan that would satisfy normal, crazy people. Your madness of it all. Now, I said something a minute ago. I used words like reasonable, unreasonable, realistic, and unrealistic. Our thinking minds, you must remember, are designed to enable us to survive. They're not designed to enable us excel to the point that we could excel were we to go beyond the structures and constraints imposed by the way in which we are taught to think first and foremost about ourselves. So before we even get into unreasonable and unrealistic, let's think about undeserving. I had a conversation half a dozen years ago with one of my early online program owners. And I asked him what kind of life would he really like to be living. Now, listen to the way I asked the question. I didn't ask him what did he want. I asked him what he would really like to be experiencing in his life. I asked him what kind of lifestyle would you love to be experiencing. Now again, people confuse the word lifestyle with having material things. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being joyful, carefree, having peace of mind, and having all good things come to you effortlessly, so that you have balance in your life, so that you have joy in your life, so that you are, I suppose to use a well-worn phrase, living the dream. This guy, I was working one-to-one with him at the time, between two of our conversations, reflected on my questions. And he came back to me and he told me that he could see himself sitting out in the vineyard, sharing a couple of bottles of wine in a big feast with everybody who had just worked on what the French called the vendange, the bringing in of the grapes. Now, this guy worked in IT at the time. He said to me, do you think that's unrealistic? So we had the unrealistic conversation. And a couple of weeks later, we had a subsequent conversation, and he said to me, I've got my head around that now. He said, I understand that anything to which I set my mind is actually realistic, to the point of it being inevitable. He said, but I have another question for you. do you think I deserve it? So many people have said to me, little old me doesn't deserve to have all good things. Because little old us were all brought up to believe that we are in this world to get to the point where when we die, we'll go to a better place. Now, I'm generalizing there, obviously, and I'm talking in particular about Judeo-Christian Western civilization. But we're all tarred with that brush. Whether or not you believe in God or any of those religions' scriptures or not, it is something that is underlying so much of Western culture. I am unworthy. This guy said to me, do you think I deserve it? I said to him, let's have the undeserving conversation, you know. If you were into religion, and if you were into the good books, like the Bible, for example, that good book actually says to you that you're meant to have life now and have it to the full. So why would you think you are undeserving? I'll tell you why. Because during the second and third years of your life, it became obvious to you that you weren't the most important person to anybody else in the world other than yourself. During, in particular, the third year of your life, you realized that you weren't going to have the good life without being able to collaborate, communicate, negotiate with people, and indeed be able to manipulate people to get what you wanted out of them. This is the crap that we learn during the second and third years of our lives. And because our minds are so open, almost like a blank canvas, when we are that age, the most important parts of our formative learning are laid down during that period. And all of our formative learning is constructed on those foundations. Most importantly, during the second and third years of our lives, as we try to learn the skills of manipulation, collaboration, communication, and negotiation, we fall on our faces. We feel bad about ourselves, things happen to us, people do bad things to us, and they are the learnings that we will take with us to the grave unless we actually stop paying attention to those programs that were learned through psychological learning, until we stop paying attention to our thoughts, until we disengage our thinking mind, until we come to our senses, until we experience the beauty of flow in the here and now, and the joy of living in flow. Wow, I've just said an awful lot there, haven't I? Joy of living in flow. This is the life that we're all meant to have. And you know what? There's very little we have to do to experience it. There is very little we have to do to reach our promised land. Even though none of us will actually know what the promised land for us is, because as I said right at the beginning of this podcast, if we, Lisa and I, have put together a plan 20 or 30 years ago as to where we wanted to be in the future, our promised land, we would have fallen so far short of the life that we now have, and we would have put our blinkers on and missed life's opportunities and synchronicities. We've talked about synchronicity a lot over the last couple of weeks. We would have missed life's synchronicities. Worse than that, because we weren't present, we would have failed to create any opportunities or synchronicities ourselves. We would have failed to attract into our life the stuff and people that we need in our life to allow us to flow effortlessly ever forward. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us in an absolutely incredibly advantageous position. Because were you to stop thinking, were you to pause your thinking mind, you would be able to not take advantage of all the opportunities that abound, not take advantage of all the synchronicities around you that abound, but create a kind of life for yourself through turning up to the here and now and doing just and only just what needs to be done to lead you ever forward. As I said, and I need to labour this point just a little bit, because people will regularly ask me, how can I set my mind if I don't know what I'm setting my mind to? People will regularly say to me, I'm afraid to handwrite a perfect moment. That is, by the way, how you set your mind. I'm afraid to handwrite a perfect moment because I don't know what my perfect moment might be. I don't know what I want. Or I'm afraid to write a perfect moment because I might write the wrong one. Or people actually begin to stress themselves out, pressurizing themselves into setting their minds for a perfect moment. This is a natural evolution when you're looking at a world state of mind. This is something that simply comes to you when you are in the zone. Because, you know, when you do disengage your thinking mind, when you do become present, when you are immersed in the here and now, luxuriating in the here and now, you have peace of mind, but you also have clarity of mind. And with clarity, everything becomes clear. I'm not saying that one of these days you will be struck by lightning on the proverbial road to Damascus and realize this is what I most want out of life. We only need clarity for the next now, and the next now after that. And most importantly, obviously, if we never have that clarity, most importantly, we need clarity in this now. We need to know what's going on in the here and now, because what I do now and how I do it leads me forward. Inevitably leads me forward if I'm clear in my mind. I alluded to what some people have said to me a couple of episodes back, where people have said to me, oh, I think I made a mistake, or I took a sideways step, or worse, I think I took a backwards step. You'll never put a foot wrong on the path to your ideal life if you are clear in your mind, in your here and now. So, what do we have to do to be clear in our mind, in the here and now? What do we have to do to be present in the moment? What do we have to do to turn up to our lives and experience the magic of the moment in the here and now? It's clearly, the here and now is magical once you begin to fully experience it, free of the thoughts that drag you down. They drag you down by saying, oh, that's unrealistic. Oh, you couldn't do that. That's unreasonable. Oh, you couldn't say that. You'd never get away with saying that. Oh, little old you doesn't deserve this, that, or the other. Let it all go. What do we have to do to let it all go? Come to our senses. We have five of them. You see, feel, hear, smell, and taste. And on an ordinary, everyday, routine basis, we pay no attention to any of them. You drink your coffee whilst thinking about something else. Or you shove a sandwich into your mouth whilst thinking about what you have to do next. Or you sit and worry about something that might never happen. Or, and this is the part that you are not aware of, you are thinking about the stuff that you learned during your second and third years of life. That is making your life a repetitive misery at this stage. And some people will say to me, oh, hold on, you're exaggerating there. My life isn't a repetitive misery. But it is in comparison to the life you could be living if you disengaged your thinking mind. We need to come to our senses. Meditation enables us to experience what our senses are telling us. To the point, by the way, that people will tell me, oh, my body is now talking to me. Your body was talking to you all of the time, you just weren't listening. I had a conversation a couple of years ago with a client with whom I was working in Hamburg in Germany, and she had a particular decision to make, and she was asking me what decision I thought she should make. And I kept asking her, how does it feel when you reflect on doing this or doing that? It was quite an easy decision. It was an either or. And she said, I don't know how I feel. I said, your gut instinct is talking to you all the time. And that's how you feel what's right. And that's how you feel what is unsettling because it's wrong. Said, I can't hear my gut instinct. I wish she'd shout louder at me. I said, she's screaming at the top of her lungs, you aren't listening. You're trying to figure out what you should do using your thinking mind. And I will never get you to bear his best claim. Never, ever, ever. I can actually say that 100% sure that I am right. Oh, somebody will probably call me arrogant after that. Now, I don't care. I don't care. All I care about, first and foremost, is me. Now, people will probably say to me, ooh, that's selfish. But how are you going to look after anybody else if you haven't looked after yourself first? How are you going to be a beacon of light, a role model for other people, if you haven't looked after your own state of mind? Using a well-worn metaphor, how are you going to help somebody else with their oxygen mask when you're gasping for air or passed out already because you didn't put your own oxygen mask on first? The most important person in your life is you. You have to look after your own state of mind. You have to develop your ability to be present. You have to develop your ability to experience peace of mind. And the clarity that will enable you move forward effortlessly and encourage those around you to do exactly the same. You need to meditate every morning because meditation will enable you to smell the roses, will enable you feel what your body is telling, will enable you experience the fact that you are vibrating energy, swimming in a sea of universal energy, a sea that is full of opportunities. If you've been listening to this podcast over the last few years, you will have heard me say what I've just said so many times. So many people have said to me, can you not change your tune? Is that something else you should be saying? There's really only one thing you should be doing, and that is ensuring that we do our daily training to turn up to our own lives, thereby living our own lives to the full. And in that regard, I want to alert you to the fact that over the coming couple of weeks, starting on Monday, September 8th, I will be hosting some free online events, including live question and answer sessions on Zoom with me, and including a 2-hour live Zoom, where, if you're interested, I can explain to you exactly how to take the steps that we can all take to experience peace of mind, joy in our lives, happiness, health, wealth, and new age, the life that's best for. Thanks for listening in today. We'll talk again next week.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.